So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, as we carry on with the Bible, I know it's a time of rest, a time of Christmas, but it's also good to carry on and just by the help of God, see what the scriptures continue to tell us. And we are still in the book of Colossians chapter 1. And we had mentioned that we will still camp between verse 15 to verse 18 because we start to speak about the Christ. And earlier on we had read that he is the image of the invisible God. And we had said that this word there is icon. That means he is not an image, he is not like a copy of the invisible God. He is the very image of the invisible God. That means if you want to see the invisible God, you will only see him in Christ. And we've been able to look at that, but then we've also said that he is the firstborn over all creation. Now, when we say the firstborn over all creation, we say that word is prototokos. And this does not mean that he is created, but it means that he has the preeminence. He is the ruler. He is the one that has the sovereignty. He has the headship over all creation. Remember, Christ is not a created being. He was there in the beginning. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That means he was with God in the beginning. God and his Word were always with him. Remember, when we speak of the Godhead that we know as the Trinity, how God has chosen to reveal himself to us, we see that the Father is the source of all things. And when his word is with him, his word is the one that brings things into effect, but it brings things into effect in the presence of the Spirit. Remember, in the creation, the Bible says the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the Holy Spirit was covering the waters, and God said, so the Father spoke, and when he spoke, the Word went to act. So it is the union of the Spirit and the Word that results in creation. And that is why if you want to make changes in your life, if you want to make changes in the atmosphere, in the environment, in anything that you want to change, you must be first stirred up in spirit. Then once you speak the words of God, then that results in creation. So these are some of the mysteries that we have. You have to be stirred up in spirit. And that is why before you do anything that is spiritual, you spend time in prayer, you spend time in fasting, you spend time in worship. And when you've done that, then you can be able to release the things that come from God. So he's the firstborn over all creation. And the Bible says, for by him, and here we are speaking about Jesus Christ, for by Jesus Christ all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth. And here we've seen how Jesus is the creator. And the Bible says all things were created by him, by Christ. All things were created. Things that are in heaven, that means in heaven, when you find those creatures that are of various forms, you can think of the angels, you can think of the different creatures that are there. You know, the living creatures having four faces, you know, face of a man, face of a lion, face of an eagle, face of an ox, all those with, you know, the creatures with wheels that have eyes, everything is eyes. You know, when you think about all the elders, look about all the angels, everything in the heavens. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens. In fact, there are multiple heavens, the heavens and the earth. So all those things that we think that are so powerful, God was the one that created them. And he is, the Bible says, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Remember, when we speak of even the spiritual world, remember Christ is the head of all principalities. So even when you meet whatever forms of principalities, whatever forms of thrones, whatever forms of dominions, whatever forms of powers, whether in the spiritual world that are against you or against God, you know that it is God that formed them. In fact, he says in Isaiah that I am the one who created the destroyer to wreak havoc. So even the devil himself was a creation of God. And the Bible says, and because I am the one who created the destroyer, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, thou shalt refute in judgment. And the Bible says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That means that even if the enemy rises to make a weapon, and the Bible does not say that the weapons will not be formed, says that every weapon that is fashioned against you shall not prosper. So the weapons may rise, they may be pointed against you, but they will not prosper. And it says that anything, every tongue that rises against you, why? Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. The power of the tongue, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So when the tongues rise, whether it is of wizards, whether it is of curses, whether it is of utterances of men, of seances, whenever they rise, whenever a voice rises against you, then the Bible says, then you shall condemn it. He says, you as a servant of God, as a child of God, your inheritance is that I have given you the authority to cancel every tongue that rises against you. You know, you can think about it that when the enemy wants to effect something, they speak. You know, last week we were having crusades, and one of the things that was happening in the demon casting is that the demons will speak. And when they will speak, you have to counter their speech. You have to counter their speech in that they will speak a lie. They will say, I'm not coming out. And you have to tell it, no, you are coming out. But you see, if whoever has the final say wins. But you see, if you speak the word, if you counter the speakings of the devil will speak, yes, but yes, God has given us the authority. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And that is why we are called to be careful about every idle word that we speak. Because every idle word that we speak shall be judged. There is a place where we learn to speak less. Why? Because in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Sin is not lacking in the multitude of words. And now, being told that everything in the visible, the invisible. So whenever you encounter things in the spiritual, be it demonic forces, be it works of the devil, be it angels, you just know that you are a created being. And there is one that is before you. He is before all things. The Bible says all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. That means that when the Bible says all creation gives him glory, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, his handiwork. You know, when the sun marches as a bridegroom or as a champion from the east to the west, it is just declaring the glory of God. Everything, when you look at nature, when you look at the intricacies of the cycles, you know, whether it is the hydraulic cycle, everything, it points to an intelligent design behind it. You know, one of the theories about the existence of God is the intelligent design. And you can see that when you look at the intricacies, or even of the body system, of how blood flows in our system, of how the brain works, about all the nerves endings and all those things, they point that indeed this is the work of an intelligent design, an intelligent being, and that is only possible if it is the work of God. So God is beyond it all. Christ created all these things, and yet he created it by the word. And then verse 17 tells us that, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now, this is very important that you must know that Christ is before all things. He was there in the beginning. He is there before the beginning. In fact, he is the very beginning. When he says, I am Alpha Omega, it does not mean Alpha and Omega. It does not say beginning and the end. He is Alpha Omega. He is beginning, end. That means that God does not exist in time. When God looks at things, he looks at things past, present, future at the same time. That's why when the Bible says that we were eternally redeemed, the redemption according to God that Christ wrought is he's the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth were laid. He's the lamb that was slain on Calvary. He's the lamb that is seated at the throne. You know, when it says weep, because do not weep anymore, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. And when John looked at the throne, he saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain on the throne. So to God, he looks at things outside of time. That's why the Bible tells us Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we must always know that God is beyond what we think as time. So when we ask the question, where was God in the beginning? That's a question that is irrelevant, because he is the God that is the beginning. He is the beginning. He has always existed. He will always exist. He is in all things. In him, he covers all things. In him, everything consists. And the Bible says, verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. I want us to just focus today on he is the head of the body which is the church. Now, the body there, the word is soma, which it's good to know because soma. But anyway, soma is Greek for the body. But you have to think about it that it is more than just an analogy. And this is what I want you to understand. You know, many times when we think about the body of Christ, we all often think about it of an analogy of, you know, we are one unit. Someone is the hand, someone is the legs, someone is the, you know, the stomach, the inner organs and the eyes and all that. But you have to actually think of it literally, that God or Christ now is in the spirit. Now, you see, when he was on the earth, actually, if you go beyond time, he was the Word. Then 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us that the Word was made flesh. I mean, if you read John chapter 1 onwards, it says that the Word was made flesh and made his dwelling among us. So Christ existed as the Word before. He is the pre-existent Word. Now, when he was the Word, for him to come as a man, he was made flesh, and he came through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is why we celebrate Christmas. Why? Because God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary and asked for her permission and said, are you going to be willing to be that the Savior of the world will come through your womb? Now, you can think about it now that it's like you're telling someone, postpone your wedding for 1 year. Their people will not hear that. Oh, they will say, no, that is not from God. That is from the devil. I am supposed to get married this time. But you see, God came to interrupt a virgin and tells her that I want you to be the carrier of the Son of God. And because she said yes, she asked, how can this be? Not out of doubt, but she wanted an explanation. And the Bible says, the angel tells us that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the child to be found within you shall be called Son of the Most High God. So the Word became flesh in Mary, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was born as a human being. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, he was limited to space. He was limited to matter. He could only be in Israel at the same, he could only be in one place at at a time because he was in the human form. That is why he had to go through cities. He was hungry. He had to send his disciples to go and do things, to go and find food and all these things. So he was limited. But you see, when he was resurrected, and you can read this from Acts chapter 1, in the first four chapters, it tells us that when Jesus was resurrected, he gave commandments to his disciples through the Holy Spirit. He met them by appointment, that he will tell them that, okay, go and meet me in Jerusalem. Go and tell my brothers I'm going to meet them in Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us over the span of 40 days, he gave them instructions, commandments by the Holy Spirit. And he showed himself alive to them by offering many infallible proofs. So he showed them alive. He showed himself alive. But how did he show himself alive? He also gave them commandments by the Holy Spirit. Now, Christ, when he's in his resurrected nature, in his resurrected body, he goes back to heaven. But then he found something. And that is why Matthew 16 tells us that he introduces the word the church, the ecclesia. Now, he says that, I will build my church. Simon is able to discover the revelation of who the Christ is, he tells him that, now this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but he says, but by my Father who is in heaven. And I say this, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. And he says, I will build my church. So the definition of the church is the ecclesia that comes from Christ himself. Now, he is the first one to use the word, the church. And that means it is the called out ones. And we've done a teaching on this. You can look out for that. It is the called out ones, the one who have been called out to form a new government with him. You remember in the Roman world, whenever there was going to be a meeting, every month there was a meeting of the ecclesia where all the men in that community or in that city will have to meet, and they have to make legislation. So the church is a called out people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation that is called to legislate on behalf of Christ. Now, you have to think about it this way, that now that he has built a church, now for him, we have died with him, we have been raised up with him, we are seated with him in heavenly places, but now we are the ones on the earth. Now, Christ himself said that when I go to the Father, I will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and I and the Father, we will come and make our home in you. Now, when God says that he will come and make his home in you, then now Jesus now comes through the Holy Spirit to live his life through us on the earth. Now, when the Bible tells us, don't you know that your bodies are members of the Holy Spirit, members of Christ, and he says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That means there is a union of your spirit, the spirit of God and your spirit. When you're regenerated, when you're made anew, that makes you a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So there is a new creation that is made in the fusion of the Spirit of God and your human spirit that regenerates you and makes you alive. This is now how you receive the Zoe, the life of God. Now, in this regeneration of your spirit, then God's Spirit or the Spirit of Christ now tabernacles or lives in your body. Now, Christ himself becomes made manifest now in multiple places all over the world through every believer. Why? Because we now become his hands and his feet. And that is why when you look at Ephesians chapter 5, where he is speaking about the body, he's speaking about husbands, love your wives. And maybe if you just look at that, let's see if we can quickly look at that. Ephesians 5:25, and we'll focus on verse 28 and 29. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Verse 28, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies." That means, you see, you're different bodies, but God is saying that, husband, love your own wives as your own body. For he who loves his wife loves himself. That means if you love your wife, you love yourself. "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." So now, if we are the body of Christ, and God is saying that, husbands, love your wives as your own bodies, but everyone loves his own body, he nourishes it and cherishes it. Through the Spirit of God, he also nourishes our own bodies and he cherishes it. Then verse 30 says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." That means that we are the physical flesh, the physical bones of Christ on the earth at this present moment. And that's why he later on says that this is a great mystery. This is a great mystery. And when you think about it, how does Jesus react to Saul when he is persecuting him? When Saul encounters the Christ on the road to Damascus, he sees the bright light and he asks the question, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus asks him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He does not say, "Why are you persecuting the church?" If he was to say, "Why are you persecuting the church?" Christ will be separating himself from us. He'll be separating himself from the church. But when he says, "Why are you persecuting me?" he says that he knows that, you might not know it, but in the spirit there is a fusion of the Christ and the church to become Christ. So when you define Christ, you must not just think of it as Jesus Christ alone, but you must also think as Christ as the union of the church on the earth as his body, and Christ, Jesus Christ, that union brings us together as the Christ. So Christ does not look at you separate from him. You are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. And now the Bible tells us he is the head. Remember when Ephesians tells us that through whom all the bodies, all the parts of the body, the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, grows into him, into all things in whom he is the head, the Christ. So he is our leader. He is the one that we aspire to be. He is the one that we grow into. He is the one that every part of us is connected to him. And the Bible tells us Christ is the head of the body, the church. He's telling us that he is above all things. We must think of it that God now expresses himself through God expresses himself through our bodies, and he wants to live through us. Even Jesus himself said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body prepared for me." Remember, this earth is a world of men, is a world of physical things. And for God to dwell in us, he will use our bodies to do his will. If we surrender to him, if we submit ourselves to him, then he will use us for his glory. You will serve God the way God would have served men. And I pray that you understand this. You have the mind of Christ. You have the spirit of Christ. You have the thoughts of Christ. God is living in you. And at times, even the thoughts that you think, sometimes you will think they are from you. But if you understand the fusion, the union, then you will know God will also seep his thoughts through your thoughts. And you need to be able to hear him. You need to be able to obey him. And you need to be able to know when God is speaking and to submit to it. I think I'll stop here, and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. You're welcome, my brother.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you very much for the great reminder. Indeed, Christ being head of the church, head of the body. And also, I think you also reminded us of the role of the husband as you're trying to explain the body of Christ, which is the church. I think it's a timely message at such a time when we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good thing because I always thought that when we say God is the Alpha and the Omega, I didn't know that we're speaking into a timeline there. That means when it's the beginning, it is the time first. So who is the middle one there? Then it just comes to be the end. But I think when you say that it's Alpha Omega, that means...
Yes, in Greek, there's no and Omega. Yeah. Yes, it's Alpha Omega.
There's no gap in between there.
Yes.
Which to me is, it was an awakening. That indeed it's true. Because it's all consistent.
Yeah.
That means it's throughout. It's only God throughout. Yeah, it's good, and just pray for grace that continue to recognize Christ as the head of the church, and also to emulate what Christ does to the church. Because as you're talking about husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church and the body. To me, I was just thinking, what did Christ do, you know, to integrate his love to the church, you know, as the head of it. So I think it's the same thing that we need to emulate as husbands, not only in our marriages to our wives, but also to everyone that is around us.
Yeah.
Because if you cannot claim to only love your wife as Christ loved the church, and you don't do the same for those that are around you, you know. Yes, so I think it's what I've just been reflecting on, and I pray that God gives us the grace to do that.
Amen. 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 Man, love. God is love. That's a big one. Yeah. Let's meditate more on this, and you know, the more you meditate, light comes. And God points you out to things that you had not seen, and his grace is sufficient. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the light that you've given us today, that indeed you are the head of the body, and we are members of your body, of your flesh, and of your bones, and that you desire to live through us. May your name be praised. What a revelation that God lives through us, through our hands, through our feet, through our vocal cords, that you want to express yourself. You want to show the world who you are. You want to reveal God to the world through us, just as you revealed Christ, the God through Jesus Christ, to the world. You want to do the same even today, through our bodies. Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. I thank you that may we be vessels of honor. May we be members of Christ. May we be temples that are of our bodies as living sacrifices that you can seep through, you can touch, you can heal, you can provide, you can make a way, oh God, for people, oh God. And I bless your name. I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you adoration. I thank you. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our children. Thank you for everyone around us. That Lord, may we be challenged to express this love, to nourish, to cherish, to love, to care, just as we will care for ourselves. That because your word is truth, your word is life, your word is hope, oh God. We honor you, we exalt you, we magnify you, commit this day before you, go ahead of us. And until we meet again, it shall be by your might, it shall be by your presence, it shall be by your keeping. We cancel every attacks of accident, every attacks of sickness, every attacks of the enemy in the night. We bind them in the name of Jesus. Every attacks of witchcraft, we rebuke them in the mighty name of Jesus. May your name be exalted, be magnified, and be glorified. We pray all this in Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. Blessed day ahead, my brother.